I am here today with Melody Granger of melodygranger.com, and Melody is quite an amazing woman. I knew immediately that when I decided I was going to do this personal challenge for myself and share it with you all, that I needed to talk to Melody, because she is kind of like, as far as physical space and clearing the space for really a happier, a fuller, or like, you know, much more energetic life, she's the person that I've kind of noticed all through the last year has been, you know, I keep going back there for her little nuggets of information. So I really appreciate you speaking with me today, Melody.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's a bigger reason why. You know, obviously, you know, you have this, you definitely have a presence even through the website. And I know that I know you and we met last year, but, you know, I saw you as so much more than just someone who helps people, you know, clear out their physical space. You know, I saw, you know, I was seeing like your growth as like an entrepreneur, and your website changed so much and in so many good ways. And so that's, I'm really excited to talk to you today. So that's that.
Oh, thank you. Yes. Last year has been really wild for me. Definitely going, really getting out there in a much bigger way, because I know that there are a lot of people that need help.
Me included.
Now, keeping up is hard. It's tough.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you know, do you? I know you have children. How many do you have?
I have two children.
Two. I couldn't remember if it was two or three. And you know, you definitely have a full life yourself. You know, so the thing that I kept asking myself just even this morning was, has Melody always been kind of organized in the sense of like her space? Have you always been very, you know, and how you take care of your living space and your physical space, has that always been there for you? Or
it hasn't been extreme, like disorder. Well, there's been days for sure,
but I mean, well, overall, with kids, come on.
But overall, like I lean towards like the neat and tidy personality. Mm-hmm. But even being neat and tidy, you collect things.
Yeah.
And so I guess if that would be where I fit in.
Yeah.
Is the, okay, so I had lots of things, but yeah, maybe they were neatly put away. Now, growing up, total opposite.
Okay.
Total opposite. Like, and there's six kids in the house.
Oh, my goodness.
So let me just put that little image in your head. And my... You know, my parents worked a lot, and then they were no longer together, and it was just my mother with six kids. And you're talking from teenage to elementary, like the full range of ages and personalities, and everybody pretty much went crazy. Like,
well, I mean, there's disorder in general, I can imagine that.
Yeah, not crazy like on purpose, but just living and going and pulling stuff out and just having stuff everywhere. And we would, it felt so wrong.
That's interesting. So like, so do you feel like that growing up like that and kind of having that sense that it didn't feel right is what maybe led you in this direction? I mean, we don't have to go into your personal story too much, but I mean, I'm just curious where it came from.
It's definitely a part of it, because I was the one like, okay, let's clean this up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but mm-hmm. like when you're making your mess, it's like, it's kind of okay. You don't notice it. But then when you like step back and you look up and you're like, holy crap, you know?
Oh yeah. All.
Yeah. So imagine that sense multiplied, and between laundry and just school stuff and then your play stuff and just a house full of, and it wasn't a big house. And, so I mean, three girls shared a bedroom. I was the one who, when it was time to clean it up, I was the one. I called.
You're like the captain.
I was like the captain. I mean, I remember like in junior high school, I made us a like a chore schedule. Like, okay, you two are on the kitchen on this day, you two are here, and you two, we worked in twos. And so, which I think is a very, now that I'm saying it out loud, it's probably a really cool thing because nobody likes to do things alone.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
I mean, some people do, and they do very well, but a lot of times it's easy when you have someone helping you. So, and y'all work together.
Well, that's cool though. I love that.
I think that's where I learned my patience and my seeing it to the end kind of thing, mm-hmm. especially when I work with someone because like I know that we're going to get done with it, whereas they may not. They're overwhelmed with it.
Right. Right. And so now you work with people, and I know you work with probably some people with some emotional stuff going on too. Because
yes.
of their moves. Can you tell us a little bit about like who you found yourself working with? Because I know you mentioned some of this in the program that we're in, but I wanted to know more about that.
Okay. It's kind of not one set person.
Right.
Type of person. The people that I work with in person, like if I'm going to put an age range on it, they are at the point where their children have gone out of the house. They are in college, maybe have grandchildren coming on. Mm. That's the age range. They don't have children. But when I do my coaching, I work with ladies, let's say their husband, you know, is maybe a doctor or something, and they have kids at home and their kids are now in school and they usually have more than one child. And they're ready to take that next step of whatever it is. So that's the catch is these ladies are at a point they're ready to take life to the next level. They're like, okay, I made it through this.
Yeah.
And now it's time to make some changes.
Right.
And there's different reasons. And then I work with women who, you know, they may not be married. They may not have children. But they need help in their homes.
Right, and it sounds like they all get to a point where they make that decision. You know,
yes, they make that decision. But what's happened? And okay, I have this on a chart because I made it up a long time ago as I observed it. But you live, doing your thing. You're bringing things in, maybe not taking them out fast enough, getting involved in these activities or these interests. And it could be something for yourself or it could be because of your children or business, whatever it is. And so you're going. And then you get to this point like, okay, almost as if, what am I doing? Kind of that restless, mm-hmm. which direction am I going? I call it like an evolvement step. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, what's next? What am I doing? What do I really want to do? And I find people, they're just at that point, whether they're tired of what they're doing or they just need a change. Now, either that happens and they're ready, or something happens, like a life change. And it could
right.
be a positive or a negative. It can be getting married, moving in with someone. It could be having a new, you know, having a baby, going back to school, a new job, or it could be something unexpected, health issues, or mm-hmm. A death in the family, or a divorce.
Mm. Wow.
So
there's a lot of, there's like so, I mean, it sounds like a lot of people either in transitions that they didn't choose for themselves,
yes.
or ones that they're ready to make that transition. You
yes.
know?
So that those are the two places that I see people at. And if it's overwhelming, it can either throw them into a tailspin and they get overwhelmed, mm-hmm. and like they just want someone to help them. Now, when you get into the physical space,
yeah,
and whenever someone like me comes in and physically helps them, or I do phone coaching, so a person would send me pictures and we discuss what they're after and I break it down for them. Like literally I say, okay, go to this closet and I tell them exactly what to do. I want you to pull this out, break this up, move this here. It gets really deep.
Toss this.
It gets really deep.
Do you ever tell people to toss stuff? That's
You know, they make the final decision, but I encourage them very strongly because one of the main reasons is that things pile up, and I'm talking people have I don't mean a little few things sitting around their house. I mean like the guest bedroom that's full, or maybe it's in their bedroom. Maybe their a lot of times like their main area is pretty, you know, it's decent. Even some people I work with, I mean, just amazing, beautiful homes, but then they have these rooms or these cabinets or the, you know, it might be a closet
where it's where like, whoa,
stashed, you know, but it's piling up and it's getting mixed up and they keep adding stuff to it. And that's why it gets overwhelming for them. It becomes almost a nightmare to them. And they know they want to clean it out, but they may start and here's a good little tip. When they start pulling it out, they don't know where to put it. It's because all their space is full. And so before you can pull out and do something with these things, like actually find a real home for them, you're going to have to clean out something else first.
Right.
In another part of your home, because you have to create space
right.
before you can add it. So letting go, if you're not going to let go, you're not going to be working with me. How about that? Because it's not going to happen.
Right.
To the point where you want it to. But when you let go and you, it's very hard to describe, but the people I work with, they feel so good. They are like, they can't even believe how long that they dealt with this, like with this stuff. Even if they couldn't see it, it was behind closed doors. It was there and they knew it.
And it was clearly causing, you know, a lot of other, you know, it was having a lot of other kind of, I don't want to say effect, but it was affecting a lot of other areas of their life, obviously.
I believe clutter affects every single area of your life.
Yeah.
Across the board. Health, money, your happiness level, your self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing, you may not realize it, but, the lady I worked with last night, she was avoiding her home. Mm. Like her main areas were good, but she had these rooms and, she was embarrassed by it. Like even if she invited someone in, like she's like, oh my gosh, if they go in that room accidentally, you know, like
right.
that I will be mortified. Mm. And, so there's that nagging, that little like, oh my gosh, that worry there,
right.
That's always there. Whereas if you go through your stuff, clean it out, you know, make the room beautiful, set it up. It doesn't have to be like this perfection thing. I like to talk about being comfortably organized, like live in your house and, you know, but, pare it down to like the things that you absolutely love, like
right.
your favorite things, and then the things that you need.
Right. So and, is this what you like when you, I'm curious, what do you tell people like the first, like when you first, let's say just your physical in-person meetings with people, because I know you have lots of different ways you work with people. Let's say with the people that you go to their homes, is there a first step that you guys do? I mean, besides looking around, obviously, at all the different spaces that, you know, just kind of getting a lay of the land, like what do you do? What is that first thing you tell people, especially when you know they're kind of overwhelmed and they don't know where to start?
Yeah, and they're nervous calling someone in to, you know, work with them. It's hard. You know, it takes a lot of courage to open up those doors and say, okay. First of all, they have to send me pictures.
Well, that's good. That's good because it kind of allows them to step back from it a little bit, not see you looking at their stuff.
Yes. We will interact via email, and then maybe it turns into a phone call, and I ask them to send me pictures. Because my imagination, you know, someone, when they describe what their house is and, you know, we all have different perspectives, and our minds are going to throw up all these images that aren't true.
Right.
Because Because what's bad to one person isn't bad to another, and vice versa. So that's the first step. And that definitely kind of breaks that ice. Like, okay, she's seen my stuff.
Right.
And then we go from there. Like, and if we both decide that we're going to work together, we're a good fit, then we immediately schedule. And the day that I walk in is the day that we start working. And I completely don't have a plan. I do not have a plan. I do not walk in with a plan. I walk around. I'm like, okay, show me what you got. And in person, to see it in right. person. And then, you know, I'll ask a few questions maybe about where they think we should start. But
right.
where they think we should start is never where I start.
Interesting. So that's good. So you don't actually it's not like you walk in with a checklist. You kind of like just walk in, listen to them a little bit.
Absolutely.
And then based on that, we kind of have more organic, like.
It's very organic. And they're so funny. They laugh at me. They're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we started here. And I'm like, I know. It's probably the spot that you didn't think we would start. And I usually start with emptying a closet. I can tell you that straight up. It's not going to be in the room that has the most clutter. It's going to be in another room because we have to open up space before we can get moving. And I hope that makes sense.
No, definitely. I mean, because yes. you can't, that's like this whole thing is like, you know, you need room to move. If you have no room to move, mm-hmm. what are you going to do? Like,
and I think they get surprised whenever, because they'll tell me, now this isn't a big deal. Because they're thinking, oh, this little closet's nothing. But it's packed full usually. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, here's the thing. There's like a stop up going on. Like everything's like, just, it can't be moved. I mean, it can be moved, but, it can't flow again if we don't open up something.
Right.
To start the flow. And so I think I throw them with that. it's usually where they tell me they don't need help with. That's where I can tell you right now.
You're like, oh, okay.
That's where I'm going.
You're like, thanks for telling me that because that's my starting point.
that's what I need to know. And I didn't even realize that for a long time. Like, I didn't realize that's what I did because I'm such a going with the flow kind of person. And so...
That's great. You know, it's funny because as you're saying this, I'm like, I'm immediately, my mind is like, uh-oh, I can think of two closets right now that are not small closets, FYI. And I'm like, oh my God, how much would it cost to get Melody out here in my place? I'm like, wait a second, I could take pictures. She could tell me what to do.
Yes. And for people like that I work with over the mm-hmm. phone, I can tell you if you're not going to take action, then it's not going to work.
Right.
It's just going to sit there. So it's definitely for action takers. Like someone who can, like, I'll break it down like step by step. And then you kind of go through, and I want the person to use their, you know, intuition too. And their kind of go with the flow. It doesn't have to be exactly like I say, but just to get it going. And, so yeah, you have to be an action taker to do the phone coaching.
Yeah. No,
it's highly effective and it works.
Very well. I can imagine that it does because, like, you can get pictures from them, tell them what to do, and say, now send me pictures at the end of this. After you've finished what I've asked you, send me pictures, you know, just so I can, like, maybe give you more things to do.
Yes. That's so. Basically how it goes. It's a back and forth. In between our actual phone conversation, there's email back and forth.
Right.
And so... And we may be brainstorming together, like, because that's a lot of fun too. Because once the ideas get sparking and the motivation gets going, it's like you open up.
Right.
And you're like, or what about this? Or they might come up with this idea. And,
well, that's really cool. I mean, you know, I would love to know. I mean, I know you've mentioned it that, you know, that people are like, wow, I didn't realize that was kind of weighing me down or, mm-hmm. you know, but I would love to, do you have any like stories of like, you know, what happened when someone kind of cleared out their stuff?
Goodness.
I'm sure you do, but like, do you have any?
It's such an amazing, just the pride and the confidence and the energy behind it. Like, even if someone's confident and they, you know, they're like feeling like they're doing pretty good, but when they clean out, and this doesn't have to be with someone who has like a lot of clutter either. This can be just for someone who pretty much has things under control. But cleaning out, it feels so good. But the people I work with, like you, I'd literally see them breathe in a deep breath. Like they haven't been breathing deeply. Mm-hmm. And just that relief, like as we start working and things start shaping up, they're like, oh my goodness. And yes, on things happening. And I know it goes back to like just feeling really good on the inside. It shows up like for other things, like whatever they're going after. One lady, I pick at her, we kind of pick together because it's just, we don't know if it's a coincidence or if it had any effect or not, but she's writing a book and it got picked up. It's being turned into a movie, like while we were working together. Yes. Isn't that crazy?
Well, that's a great story. I just got chills with that one. My goodness.
She's been trying to get it published, and it's like this fiction story, really cute, down south story about these ladies, but it would not get picked up by a book publisher. And then, so now you just imagine, like, this is a lady who, her home's like looking pretty good for all intent, you know, someone walking in, but the upstairs was where it was all at, and so nobody went upstairs. And it caused her such anxiety and nervousness, and like she was just totally overwhelmed because it's been years they kept just putting stuff up there and putting stuff up there. So the first thing we did was she liked to paint, she liked to write, and just she's very creative. And so we totally redid her office, and it took some time because there was a lot of stuff, like, and a lot of paper to go through, and it is so gorgeous. And the window, I mean, she walks in there and her windows aren't blocked. There's nothing on the floor. And we brought in like sentimental stuff, like from her grandparents, and hung it on the walls. And we just like found a home for everything. But that's not the only room we did. We redid her closets, I went through her whole house. It took us 4 months.
Oh my goodness.
Of going, yeah. And I go like 3 times a month. So like once a week. And yeah, so it took about 4 months to go through her whole house. But you can imagine during this process, and she's doing all this book deal, and now she's flying for her movie stuff. She's screenwriting. And so you can imagine that the confidence and the boost right underneath mm-hmm. that, like knowing that her home is taken care of and the things she loves. And I mean, I loaded my car so many times of donations, just taking it out. And it's very addicting once you get it going, and you're like, you know what? I really don't need this.
Yeah.
Why am I trying to take care of it? And I work with them one at a time, and they make decisions. Like, we go through their closet. They get to decide if they keep it or not. It's totally up to them. If they're having issues with it, then I'll like maybe, you know, encourage them to pass it on. Mm-hmm. So one of my daughters is really good. She doesn't have a whole lot of stuff, but she has her favorite things because you can tell that she can feel the difference. And then my other daughter is total opposite. She's like the collector. Her mind is always going, and she's very creative. Well, they're both creative, but.
How old are they, by the way?
They are now, 11 and 13.
Wow.
Both have But let me tell you, I've been doing this since I started doing this in 2003 when I learned this,
goodness.
I clicked up on it. And one of the things I learned to do with them at a very young age was let them make their own decisions. I mean, when they got to that point, like four,
yeah,
the age of like four.
Yeah.
And at first they're not going to want to let go of anything. Now some kids, you know, they don't care, but I've watched and I've observed over the years, and all I've got to say is whenever they are out on their own, they are going to know how to do this. They are going to know that it's up to them. It's their decision. And I can tell when they they make a connection with how their room looks and how the stuff, and even when the house is like wrecked, like it affects us all, and they know mm-hmm. it, like they can feel it, and I know they can. And so I'm
so
really
interesting.
Proud of them. And it's a very great decision-making
yeah.
Process for them, because they need to learn how to make decisions
right.
and not agonize over something. And so,
well, plus kids, you know, I definitely even notice that with Mila, and she's just turning three, that, you know, the more like decision making, you know, as much as you can for a 3-year-old that you give them, the more in control of their environment they feel. They don't feel so like, I don't know, like there's something about that, like, you know, I can just tell it calms her right down when she has the choice. When it's
yes.
her choice, you know,
yes.
and granted, we are actually on the cusp. I'm on the cusp of going insane on the amount of toys that she has collected, but I'm hesitant to do it because I do, like you said, I want it to be her choice, what she doesn't need anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right
yeah,
now,
I think she's
everything.
Probably still at the age, you know, where you'll, you know, you could still make some decisions mm-hmm. without her. She may not even realize some things are gone, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's on that independent, just from what I remember from my girls, like that mm-hmm. very strong.
No. There's a lot of no's.
Yes. And so I think around, like, I've noticed different little stages of my girls, like, letting go. Because, oh, well, that's – it finally connects with, oh, that's like a really a baby thing. And so – it's just interesting watching the dynamics.
Yeah.
But here's something just on a little personal thing with my daughter, the one that is on the messier side and has more stuff, that kind of thing. she one day came to me and said, my desk is so messy. I don't know what to do. And I was so proud for her to come to me and say that to me,
aww.
You know, because I'm like, that's what I help people with.
You're like, oh.
And I said, well, do you know why? And she said, no. I said, well, I can tell you what I think it might be. And she said, what? And I said, it's because you have too much stuff on there. And like the little light bulb that went off in her head, I said, the less that you keep. Mm. And so... anyway, I was like, it was a very proud moment for me. And that was the end of the conversation. I didn't say anything else because I guess that was all she, I saw like.
That's all she needed. She just needed to like, be like,
to realize that, like, okay, let me think about this. So,
right.
But she's really come a long ways. She didn't ever want to throw anything away. And now when we go in there, she's like, here, I don't want it. Because she's learning that it's taken up more time, more space. It's more frustrating for her.
And, I love this. I love it.
So.
Well, I'm definitely going to have to figure out how to bring some of that into Mila's life. But I first have to bring it into my own, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to.
Let her help you. I mean, when she gets to a point, like,
yeah.
Do your closet and let her help you, like, see you making decisions.
Right.
Like, oh, I don't need this anymore.
Right.
And say it out loud so she can hear what you're thinking.
Ah, that's a good idea. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Just, you know, didn't have to be extreme on her end, but.
I love that. Well, I mean, this is definitely one of those topics, you know, this whole topic of white space in general, of creating more of it in your life is one that I could probably talk about for a while. I want to ask you to, if you can give people listening kind of an assignment, something that they can do maybe right now. I know that that's crazy, like some really super general, like, or maybe super easy or simple steps that they could do, like just a couple, so that we can go away with like a, you know, an action for them to do. And then they can maybe
yes.
ask questions about it in the comments or, you know.
Yes. I would recommend going to an area that you don't think is too cluttered, or you think you kind of have it under control, is what I like to say, and actually pull the things out if you can't see it easily, whether it's in a closet or it could be some kitchen cabinets, something like that, and actually pull everything out and get rid of what you don't need. I want you to create some space try to have some space where everything's real easy to get to and easy to put away. Because there's things that, even though we think we've kind of got it under control, when you pull it out and look at it, if it's been months or years since you've looked at it again, then you do forget what's in there. And when you pull it out like that and make a conscious choice to take away the things that you really know you can live without, like, you free up space, and it feels so good to have extra space, in my opinion.
Yeah. I love this space. I have to say, I love this idea of like going to an area you think you have under control, because there might not be as many kind of hardcore emotions related to it. Mm-hmm. So maybe it's like a little bit easier. It's like an easier first step.
Yes, it's an easier first step, definitely, and it's not as overwhelming. Now, depending on, you know, I said kitchen cabinets, you don't have to do every, you know, the whole kitchen, but if you just, maybe even just do the pantry, or right, just like one little section, like get in there and clean it out, tidy it up, and take away. The main thing is see how much you can take away.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to do that right now.
Yes.
I'm like writing down which area I'm going to go to. I'm actually standing right in front of it.
Well,
I'm
tell
like,
me, what do you think you're going to?
Well, there's it's actually a row of cabinets. There's not too terribly much underneath there, but there's a lot that I do not use. And they're just, they're cupboards underneath my counter that are, it's like, you know, like Tupperware and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Just nothing too like crazy, but I always open it up going, I never use half this stuff. I actually say that in my head every time I open up these two cabinets.
Perfect. That's where you should go.
Okay, Melody, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
I really enjoyed it. I know I kind of went off on quite a few
things. No, I love it. I love it. And I think it will definitely be really helpful to people and to kind of hear how you work with people, but also how you work with your own family. I think that's where it's really valuable. And it's, you know, because that's another part of, you know, building and creating more white space is creating these kind of connections with the people that are around you the most, you know? So
yes,
I think that's great. So please leave a comment below for Melody, and she'll answer all your questions. And you can also reach her at her website. And it's just melodygranger.com?
Yes.
And do you have any other, like, things you want to tell them about, or I don't know?
Well, I do a few different things. I do the phone coaching, like where we meet weekly, not weekly, every other week by phone. I have a program for that, and it's a 3-month. Actually, I just turned it into a 4-month. I'm sorry. because once we get started, we really get going. But also for people that live in my local area within an hour of me, I do in person, and I'm down in South Louisiana. And
oh my goodness.
You know, if you're way down here. And then the other thing I have that a lot of people don't get to see, because it's kind of hidden on my website, it's called a closet chat. And that's just if you want some help with your closet, maybe some space solutions without spending a fortune. And it's all email. We don't actually talk by phone or anything, so you don't have to have an appointment. You just you send me your pictures, and I'm going to send you – we'll communicate by email, but I send you a plan and – break it down for you, just like I would on the phone coaching, and tell you what to do, like move this here, pull this out. And there's actually some video on that page, on my service page. You'll have to click the link that says closet chat. There's like a little bitty link, and maybe I should make it more prominent, but that's a fun one to do also.
No, that sounds fun. That sounds like a really good one. So. Well, definitely check her out and leave a comment for her below. And I guess I'll speak to you soon, Melody.
We will.
Okay. Thank you so much again.
You're welcome. Thanks, Anne.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.